This is Standing Watch. And now, Evangelist Norbert Link.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to our Standing Watch program. Why is Mr. Putin winning? Now, there's no question that he is, but why? Now, first of all, let me just say that what we are seeing right now in the world is definitely in fulfillment of biblical prophecy. We have been telling you for years that ultimately countries like Russia, China, India, Japan, and other Far Eastern nations will come together, will collaborate. That is clearly prophesied in your Bible. And to make that point, I'd like to read to you from Breitbart, dated March 22, saying, "With Russia's annexation of Crimea, now a fait accompli, it's well to remember that this isn't the first recent annexation of other countries' territories. China has already seized islands in the South China Sea that have historically belonged to the Philippines and Vietnam, and is operating on the belief that any short, sharp attack on any one island won't bring an American response. China intends to continue annexing islands in this fashion. Russia as a whole," the article goes on to say, "and Putin in particular, are becoming increasingly nationalistic, and it's possible that Putin will conclude from the experience of annexing Crimea that NATO won't respond militarily even after a NATO country is invaded, but will simply adopt new sanctions, such as making it illegal for Russian politicians to visit Disneyland. Similarly, the Chinese may conclude from Russia's experience in Crimea and their own experiences in the Southeast or South China Sea that they can continue annexing other people's islands and territories with impunity." And in fact, that is what's going to happen, because the Bible tells you ultimately that the leadership of those Far Eastern nations will be provided by China and Russia. Reuters wrote on March 21 that when President Vladimir Putin signed a treaty this week annexing Crimea to great fanfare in the Kremlin and anger in the West, a trusted lieutenant was making his way to Asia to shore up ties with Russia's eastern allies. The underlying message from the head of Russia's biggest oil company was clear: if Europe and the United States isolate Russia, Moscow will look east for new business, energy deals, military contracts, and political alliances. The holy grail for Moscow is a natural gas supply deal with China that is apparently now close after years of negotiations. If it can be signed when Putin visits China in May, he will be able to hold it up to show that global power has shifted eastwards and he doesn't need the West. Tokyo has been working hard under Prime Minister Shinzo Abe to improve ties with Moscow. Despite a territorial dispute dating from World War II, Putin did take time to thank one other country apart from China for its understanding over Ukraine and Crimea, saying India has shown restraint and objectivity. Russia remains a key defense supplier to India, and relations are friendly. Putin's move to assert Russian control over Crimea was seen very favorably in the Indian establishment. The Spiegel Online wrote on March 20 that behind the scenes, Russia and China are already working on a military pact, which they say could drastically change the alignments between world powers. But Russia isn't only looking towards other Far Eastern countries. Russia is determined to go a lot further than that. The Washington Post wrote on March 21 that as the U.S. led war winds down and Russia reasserts itself in Ukraine and the Middle East, Moscow is also ramping up its investments in Afghanistan. It is rebuilding the relics of the Soviet occupation and promoting its own political and cultural processes. Now, here's an article by The Hill, dated March 21, saying away from the conflict in Ukraine, Russian President Vladimir Putin is quietly seeking a foothold in Latin America, military officials warn. To the alarm of lawmakers and Pentagon officials, Putin has begun sending Navy ships and long-range bombers to the region for the first time in years. Now, if that's not enough to open your eyes as to what is happening, notice this article, which was published by The Independent, a British paper, on April 1. After annexing Crimea and with troops massed on the border of Ukraine, Vladimir Putin will not stop trying to expand Russia until he has conquered Belarus, the Baltic states, and Finland. One of his closest former advisors has said, according to Andrei Ilarionov, the president's chief economic advisor from 2000 to 2005, Mr. Putin seeks to create historical justice, quote-unquote, with a return to the days of the last Tsar, Nicholas II, and the Soviet Union under Stalin. This advisor went on to say that Russia will argue that the granting of independence to Finland in 1917 was an act of treason against national interests. It goes on to say that Finland is not a NATO member, meaning a Russian invasion would not be considered an attack against the alliance. The Scandinavian nation was part of the Russian Empire for 108 years as an autonomous Grand Duchy. Now, some have had the guts to compare Putin's actions with what Hitler did, but not too many have said that. Now, here's an article by Der Spiegel Online, dated March 31, saying that on Monday, German Finance Minister Wolfgang Schäuble said he saw parallels between Vladimir Putin's annexation of Crimea and Adolf Hitler's land grab of Sudetenland. As Germany's Mr. Euro, Wolfgang Schäuble is one of the country's best-known politicians abroad. When the finance minister speaks, people generally tend to listen. Russian officials claim ethnic Russian residents of the peninsula are threatened by Ukraine. The Nazis argued similarly in 1938 that ethnic Germans in regions of what was then Czechoslovakia required protection. But listen now to the blindness of the nation, the blindness of the Americans, the blindness of the West, of the Germans, many of the Western powers. CNN wrote on April 2 that the vast majority of Americans say Vladimir Putin's not honest or trustworthy, but according to a new national poll, they do not compare the Russian president's actions in Ukraine with the land grabs in the years leading up to World War II by Germany's Adolf Hitler. But then, notice what this article has to say in addition. Just over 1 in 5 admitted they don't know enough about pre-Second World War history to answer the question. That's a problem. Americans in particular don't know what actually happened in the past, are not interested, are sound asleep. And boy, are they going to have a rude awakening when the time comes. Bloomberg wrote on March 30, Chancellor Angela Merkel's deputy chided Siemens AG chief executive officer Joe Kaeser for traveling to Moscow, saying German companies shouldn't sell out European values to protect business with Russia. While the European Union and the U.S. seek to punish Russia for annexing Crimea, many German corporate leaders view Putin as an economic partner. While Merkel has said Germany could withstand the economic impact of European economic sanctions against Russia, the heads of Adidas AG, or AG, Tyson Krupp AG, and Deutsche Post AG questions the need for sanctions. And now in light of this, listen to this article by Der Spiegel Online dated March 31. Those expressing understanding for Russia's move in Germany, we're talking about, are clearly dominating the internet forums and talk shows. One former German Chancellor, Helmut Schmidt, even declared that the situation in Ukraine is dangerous because the West has gotten so terribly worked up about it. The question of whether Putin's actions were legitimate didn't even seem to interest him. I find it entirely understandable, he said. Another former Chancellor, Gerhard Schröder, admitted that he himself hadn't always respected international law. The soft-heartedness for Russia's iron hand has many origins, and of course, then the article says much of that has to do with business, but notice, much of it has to do with German anti-Americanism. It says here, Klaus von Donani is a conservative Soviet Democrat and enjoys widespread respect among CDU politicians as well. of course, Merkel, the head of the CDU. It says, Dohnányi's understanding for Russia is one side of his worldview. The other is his criticism of the United States. So, of course. Of course. The longer one listens to him, the greater the impression becomes that the Americans are the problem and not the Russians. Today, this article says, it is the Ukrainians who are being sacrificed on the altar of sympathy for Russia. When the Polish government imposed martial law in 1981 and stepped up its fight against the opposition, the US initiated sanctions against the Soviet Union and Poland, then German Chancellor Helmut Schmidt refused to join. And so we are seeing the same move again and mood again over there, specifically in the Western powers, totally underestimating Putin, totally underestimating Russia, totally not understanding what Russia is all up to. And of course, that is why Mr. Putin is winning. I'd like to also quickly read to you from the Mosaic magazine, dated March 26, an Israeli paper. It says that Russia's deputy foreign minister warned that if the West imposed sanctions over the annexation of Crimea, this was already done in March 19, this article says, Russia would retaliate by exacting a much greater price. It would throw its support to Iran in the nuclear talks. The Kremlin sees itself as a great power patron, not just of the Assad regime, but also of Iran and Hezbollah, the entire resistance alliance. Putin will never sell out Tehran and Damascus in order to win compliments in Washington. It says no matter which course the president, the United States of America's president, follows, the Ukraine crisis has damaged the prestige of the United States in the Middle East. And then the article goes on and on to say that America's leadership is non-existent in the eyes of the Arabs and Israel. It says two facts are undeniable. First, Putin's muscular foreign policy and Washington's timorous response have increased the pressure on Israel to strike independently against Iran. Second, Obama has lost influence over the Israelis, just as he has lost influence over his Arab allies when he refused to back them on Syria. Adrift in Machiavelli's no man's land, neither a true friend nor a true enemy, Washington is left with the worst of both worlds, treated by its adversaries with contempt, charged by its friends with abandonment and betrayal in the Middle East. Russia and its clients are winning, and the United States is losing. And here you have the answer. Why is Mr. Putin winning? Because he doesn't find any opposition, and America has proven to be too weak to oppose him. And in the West, economic powers as well as anti-Americanism right help him in making these further advancements. That's what he wants to do. And most people are sound asleep and don't realize what is happening. But the Bible is telling you. And so I encourage you to read your Bible and listen to our programs, because we will keep you informed as about what is really happening in the world and how it affects you personally. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California, 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.